All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hawks Huddle podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to the channel and give this episode a like. We have a very special guest here today. He is an NFL linebacker, a speaker, an author, a podcaster, and so much more. We got Sam Ocho joining us right now. Thanks for coming on, Sam. How are you today?
I'm great, Jacqueline. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy that you're here. By the way, love the book. I'm not a reader at all. Like, I don't think I've ever read. I think last time I read a book that like I wasn't forced to read was the Howard Stern book that came out like 2 years ago. I love your book. I'm on like chapter 7 now. So thank you again for coming on. So for sure, we want to talk about the book. We have a lot of stuff we want to talk about, but I kind of want to get first into football. So how did you get into football and why did you get into football?
Yeah, awesome. Well, first of all, I love y'all's setup. I don't know if people just listen to this or if they see it, but y'all have the good. Yeah, this setup is phenomenal. So first of all, kudos to you guys. Keep
Thank
it up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love the setup. Love the I know I said this before we recorded, but like Jacqueline, like you are legit. Like she was like, she reached out to me on social and then my email, and then I was being flaky, and then so she got back, so she's like, hey, just following up. Then I was flaking out again, and then she was like, hey, are you available? And I was like, okay. And so you have a gift of like persistence but also grace. Like that's something about you. Like you can be persistent, but you can also be, you're not pushy. Some people are persistent and really, really pushy. Like they'll just keep on like badgering you. But you're persistent, but you also give grace. And that's what I really appreciated the most about even just getting on this podcast, right? People get asked to do stuff all the time.
But
just your grace and your persistence together. That's a gift. It's a gift. People don't have that. Usually people have one or the other, right? Oh, I'm not going to say anything because I'm scared, or they're just going to like go all in and it's like, okay, bombarded. And you're both. You're like, hey, would love to do this, but I understand your space and your time, but I really would love to do it. And so I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So how I got into football, I started playing I played the last 9 years in the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I started playing in the sixth grade because my younger brother, he started playing and he was a running back and he was scoring like a gazillion touchdowns and everyone was cheering for him. And I was like, I wanted the applause. And so the next year I was like, I'm going to play football. And I was in the sixth grade the next year and I played offensive line because I was a big kid. I played offensive line. And if anyone who knows American football, offensive line, you don't get cheered for. Nobody even knows your name. Like I see y'all got the jerseys. Y'all have like a Manning, y'all have like a quarterback jersey, all these jerseys. Like y'all don't, there's no offensive line jerseys. I had no cheers. Our team was the Dolphins. We were so bad. We lost so many games. It was embarrassing. By the grace of God, the next year I got a chance to play defense in seventh grade at my school, my middle school. And I played defensive tackle and I loved it. I just fell in love with the position. I fell in love with just trying to get to the quarterback, trying to beat a lineman.
It's more fun, right? It's more fun. You get to tackle people.
Yeah. I remember
like hard.
Yeah, exactly. Jacqueline, you need to play defensive line.
My mom won't let me. I begged her to allow me to play football.
Let me talk to her. Let her talk. An NFL linebacker is saying you have what it takes, the persistence and the grace. Come on, mom, listen.
I'm going to tell her this. Ready.
Please do. And so that's how I got into playing football.
You got into it. And then were you and your brother very competitive, or you guys kind of let you guys do your own thing? You know, one was better at this, one was better at that.
No. We were competitive. We were super competitive, but we were about 2 years apart in age. So like I'm 2 years older than him, but we were only one grade in difference. And so like usually maybe a quick story. So like we'd be playing basketball after school and if we were ever on the same team, just for fun, right? You know, pickup basketball. If we were ever on the same team, of course, we would dominate whoever else we went against. And so, because we knew where the other one was going to be, right? We knew like the cut you're going to make. So there was like almost like this extra sense of like where, what we're going to do. If we were on opposite teams, we just made sure not to guard each other because it would have turned into something kind of bigger than it needed to be.
Right.
And so we both kind of dominated it in our own rights. we were competitive, but we were just different, right? I was a defensive. we were kind of both on the same team in a lot of ways, right? Like, we played together for 3 years in high school, and I played defensive end. He played linebacker. So we were both kind of both doing the same things. Even on the back when we got to high school basketball team, we both played on the same team. And so, like, our goal was kind of to win championships, and we would push each other, or to be great, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. We would push each other to get to those goals.
Love that.
Yeah, Sam, awesome again to have you on here. We thank you for your time a bunch. Yeah, like you said, 9 years in the NFL. I just want to go back to when you were at Texas. And when you were playing there, you were the team MVP after your senior season, able to win the award for community service as well, and the Campbell Trophy. I was just wondering kind of what was your secret to success for obtaining that great GPA through Texas, as well as the on-field production, being drafted, and just sort of managing all of that, Sam?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Mark. I think there was really two things. And I think what I'll say more than that is, like, everybody's got their secret, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, like, we've all have different gifts. And so, Jacqueline, I know, make sure your mom listens to this podcast.
She listens to every single one.
Okay, good. So good. So, Mom, what's your mom's name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, is it Kula? Is that how you say it?
Ansky, yeah. That's
better. Stephanie Anski, Mrs. Anski. Uh-huh. Jacqueline needs to play football, number one. Needs to happen, if you don't mind. It's coming from a 9-year NFL linebacker. I've been to the playoffs. The money is good. She'll take care of you for life. Yeah. Mrs. Anski, just remember that, right? And she needs a mentor. I've got her. And then secondly, though, like, just if I can, like, the persistence and grace, right? So, like, for me, like, my, like, Jacqueline, I think your secret is that persistence and that grace. Like, that's going to get you far. Like, that's going to take you places that you never could have imagined in front of people. That's going to take you super, super far. That's your secret. That's your gift. Mark, I don't know you yet, so I don't know. I don't know what it is.
But, that's all right, Dave.
You know, but for me, I think it was this ability to be laser focused. So whenever there was a goal that needed to be accomplished, I could just, and I still can, just dial in and laser focus and accomplish the goal. It's like, that's just a gift that God gave me, this ability just to, like, whoosh, and just do it. Everything and everyone out of the way and accomplish the goal. And then a second piece was, a skill I had to learn was the ability to time manage, right? Time management, yes. That's a skill. It's a skill I had to acquire. And I learned that while I was in college, Mark, to your question. I was in the business honors program at one of the top schools. I was so double major in we called it BHP, business honors and marketing. And then I was also in a football team that was we went to the national championship when I was there. Yeah. We won the Big 12. We were, 13-1. Yeah, I mean, we were like we were really good. And so I had some mentors who really taught me how to manage my time well, whether getting a calendar, writing things down or whatever. And so that way I could focus and then go to the next thing, focus again, next thing, focus. So almost like compartmentalizing as well. So those are some of the things that got me to where I'm at. But there's a key that I'd say is that we all have different gifts. We all have different gifts. Mm-hmm. And so so mine might be this, focus. Jacqueline, yours might be this persistence, right? I'm just going to keep on doing it. I don't care if people will say yes or no, right? Mark,
right.
Yours might be being the cool guy. I'm the cool guy. I don't know. Yeah. So
anyways. It's not bad. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's a good gift to have.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit, some bachelor talk. I'm a 19-year-old girl. I'm a 19-year-old girl. You know, I love The Bachelor. Every Monday night before COVID, I would watch with my friends. Now I watch with my mom every Monday night.
When is this coming out, Jack? When is this? What is this episode?
This should be out today. Tonight.
Okay, good, good.
Before it airs on Monday. So I knew right away that your brother was picked to be the host. I want to know your reaction to hearing about this. And are you mad that you weren't picked? And second, I want to know, did you watch the Chris Harrison interview with Rachel Lindsay?
Okay, so Jacqueline, you are awesome.
Thank you.
The research. Okay, so you do good work.
Thank you so much.
So that's a Okay, I'm gonna do a quick plug real quick because I have a podcast called Athletes for Justice podcast.
Of course, and I just
interviewed Andy Downs, who's a phenomenal author and speaker,
and Ben podcaster, Higgins as well.
And Ben Higgins, who was on the Bachelor. And so for whatever reason, like, and no one knows the story, so this is like whatever. You know, y'all are getting the goods.
Yeah, we're getting the goods. All right.
Ben Higgins and I have become friends. And I don't watch The Bachelor. I didn't know who Ben was. I don't like do it. But we become friends because we both were publishing books at the same time. And you know, my lady who was kind of setting up appearances and stuff said, hey, you may, you know, maybe a good idea to get on Ben Higgins. You know, he has a Instagram live series, right? And so we did that and we just connected. And that was months ago. And then fast forward, the Chris Harrison things comes out, and Ben actually, I didn't even know it broke, but Ben reached out to me and he's like, hey Sam, cause we were friends. He's like, dude, what do I do? Like, what do I say? Because Chris is a friend of his.
Right.
But he also said, man, but what he said wasn't okay. You know? And like, it's not okay. And so like, I don't want to bash my friend, but at the same time, I want to stand up for what's right. And obviously he did. He went on and stood up for what was right. Yes. But so the first time I watched that interview, to your question, Jacqueline, was when Ben sent it to me.
Okay.
And said, hey, if you got a second. So we talked and I went and I watched it. And so I did watch it. And yeah, there was so much where I was like, oh, this is not good. Like, he didn't even realize Chris didn't even realize some of the things he was saying. And I think that's what happens sometimes. You think you know everything.
Right.
And you just kind of like, yeah, you know, and there's even a point too where he said something to the effect of, you know, thankfully I've been around long enough where, you know, I'm not going to get canceled, kind of something like that. I was like, I'm just saying, you know, and I'm very anti-cancel culture, but I mean, he's like, I've been around long enough so I can say things. And no one's immune to not even being canceled, because I'm anti-cancel, right?
Yeah.
Let's cancel culture. But I'm more of like, hey, like, let's think about what you said and think about how you can learn. And so anyways, that's that piece. And then to how did I feel when I found out my brother was going to host? I was ecstatic. I was excited because even years ago, a year or two ago, he was thinking about being on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or something. I don't know which one, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he, like, maybe his agent or somebody like tried to like audition him or something, and it sounded like it went well, but then they ended up going, you know how this works, like they use people from previous episodes. I don't know what that's called. From, so they did that.
You know
what I'm talking about, Jacqueline?
From previous seasons, you
yes
mean?
From previous seasons.
Yeah, so usually like except for this year, Matt was never on The Bachelorette or anything like that, but every other year they always have someone who was on last year or maybe from like 5 years ago, so like as the lead will be a contestant from the other season.
Right. This is like, we need to call this Bachelor Talk podcast.
I know, I gotta do one.
My knowledge has just rose completely about The Bachelor now.
Hey, I'll say this, Jacqueline, you lit up when we started talking about The Bachelor. So like, forget sports. Let's talk Bachelor for the rest of this podcast. And so they ended up going with someone from a previous season. And so it was like, well, cool. There's other ways that you can, you know, cause he was like, man, like this could be a good step to something bigger and better.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, like all his other stuff kind of helped. Like he now he's gotten bigger and better. And then they asked him to host. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that there was interest. And so he's beyond excited. I'm beyond excited for him. It'll air on Monday, the 15th. And I talked to him yesterday, and my brother yesterday, and he said, man, like after that, like things could really like blow up for him. Just because to be able to host, like from what I understand, The Bachelor is the number one rated non-scripted show on TV.
Yeah.
So like it's the number one show, the most watched. It's almost like the NFL for some people.
Oh, 100%.
And so, So he's excited. I'm excited for him. And no, I am not jealous or upset. I have no desire to host a Bachelor or to be on. I would beat out all those bachelorettes or whatever. Like, I got a beautiful, and like kids are awesome. So like, I don't have a desire. Ben did joke though on Insta or Twitter or something. He was like, yeah, you know, congrats to Emmanuel, but Sam's better looking. I was like, I'll take the better looking, but I don't want to host the podcast or host the show.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I'm excited to watch that as well. But I also do, we're not talking about your brother this entire time because I have a lot of things for you, but I do want to talk about the Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. I love this series. Was there ever a possibility of you starting a show like that or joining him for an episode?
Yeah, so funny enough, and I don't know why I'm giving you all the goods, the details. Yeah. No one else is hearing this stuff. So the only time I wanted to be on one of his episodes was when my book was coming out. Because like there was like millions of people were watching his stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shoot, man, I got a book out. Let's promote the book, you know? And but he was very strategic and all the things. And so I haven't wanted to be on, but for me, we're both about the same things, making change in our communities. And funny enough, I just recorded an episode with a lady named Cindy on my podcast, and it'll release in a couple of weeks on the Athletes for Justice podcast. And she's a 71-year-old lady, a white woman who experienced racism but didn't know how to place it. And so we had this phenomenal conversation. It was one of the best. I mean, just go, if you're listening, you can go and you know, whatever, check out that podcast. But it was a phenomenal conversation about how to bring healing and hope to someone who may not even know that they need it. And so for me, that podcast, the Athletes for Justice podcast, has been a way to have these conversations. But also I started a nonprofit called the Athletes for Justice Nonprofit. And we're going around in different communities and trying to make changes to the communities that need it. And so specifically after George Floyd was murdered, the Emmanuel expressed himself, and now out came these words of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. That was a few weeks after. The way I expressed my pain and anger and frustration came out with this rallying cry of people to bring athletes together. We raised about $500,000 to purchase a liquor store on the west side of Chicago and turn it into a food mart. And so doing stuff like that is stuff that really invigorates me and brings me life. For Emmanuel, it's been his Uncomfortable Conversations, but also for me, it's been this Athletes for Justice, whether it's podcasting stuff, nonprofit stuff, or just bringing people together and trying to make change.
Love that.
Yeah, and you've talked about the need to make change, and you've done so well with that, Sam, in the community. Just sort of tying it back to football here too. This was a question we had Steve Weish on the podcast last week. This was a question.
Can I stop you real quick?
We asked him.
Who asked Steve to be on?
Hey, you could imagine.
Bingo. Yeah. Jacqueline, you could ask. If you asked Obama, President Obama, Obama would come on your podcast. So. Man, y'all just don't forget about me when this thing blows up, when your podcast, Jacqueline, whenever you're 19, by 24 or whatever, just remember me. So when I say, hey, can I be on your podcast that has like 10 million subscribers? Yeah. Don't be like, oh no, Sam, I'm busy. I got to get you on the list. No, Jacqueline, remember this. All right. And Mark, Mark's our witness and your mom and your
mom. Yes. My
Stephanie,
mom as well. Yes.
Please remember when your daughter gets older, I want to be back on the podcast. Of She's going to be in the NFL by then. She's going to get drafted. So
That's great. Essentially my question, Sam, here would be going towards the coaching carousel. What do you think the NFL has to do? I mean, again, another coaching cycle gone by, only one minority coach hired. What do you think the NFL has to do for a partial solution there?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for a more full solution, right? There were 7 spots available, I believe, and 2 coaches were minorities.
Salah and Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't know why I'm telling you all my information.
Just tell us. You got to keep
goodness,
going. Jacqueline,
stop doing this. You have a gift.
Thank you so much.
I think you need to have minority owners.
Right.
There needs to be minority ownership. You need to have there's 31 owners in the NFL, 32 teams. One of them, the last one is owned by the Green Bay Packers is owned by the people.
Publicly.
Right. But all the other, there's 31 owners and only one is a minority.
Yeah.
Right. Khan in Jacksonville, Shad Khan is the only minority. The other 30 owners are all white.
Yeah. That's a big problem.
I just think about the conversation I had with Cindy. Like, there was so much that was like underneath, like below the surface that no one really talked about, unspoken, unsaid, when it came to bias or racism. And some was actually said. If you want diversity because owners make the decisions on who's going to be the coach and general manager. If you want diversity in coaching and management, you need diversity in ownership as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it sounds good. All right, great. Let's just get a minority owner, right? Well, it's not that easy because the NFL, like, you can't just, it's not just about money, right?
Right.
It's also about, okay, there's certain like policies that ownership has in place to decide if an ownership, if a team becomes available, who's going to own that team. And they, you know, there's like a group of people, owners, that make that decision. And so you just need some owners who are courageous enough to say, hey, this team became available and we need some minority owner, you know, period. And they'll pay, make them pay whatever it costs, right? Let them bring the money. But yeah, we need a black owner.
Of course.
And just more than just one.
Increasing the representation, you know? Of course.
Yeah, because we've tried everything. I mean, it's been the Rooney Rule has been around for 21 years.
Right.
And 21 years. Or no, actually it was 18 years. Excuse me. So 2003. Okay. 2003, so 18 years. And in 2003, there are only 3 black head coaches. And and the studies had actually shown, there was research that had been done by a university that showed that black coaches in the year that they were fired had a higher winning percentage than their white counterparts.
Wow.
So black coaches average 1.1 more wins than their white counterparts, yet they were still fired. Like, so in general, right, they average 1.1 more wins, yet they were still fired. And there's more statistics and data on that. But so the NFL is like, okay, we got to do something. And it wasn't necessarily, they were like, oh, let's do something. There was a lawsuit that was going to get a discrimination lawsuit that was ready to be filed. So they said, okay, now we really have to do something, right? That pressure from that public pressure and also like legal pressure. Mm-hmm. So they formed this thing called this Rooney Rule, all right, where we got to interview minority candidates, just interview. Before you hire, you got to interview. And so after about 3 years, so in 2006, they were all of a sudden went from 3 to 7 black coaches. And then 2 of those 7 actually were coaching in the Super Bowl. Right. Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith coached against each other, Indianapolis Colts and Chicago Bears, right? In 3 years. So it's like, wow, this is working. It's great, right? Like, this is what we wanted. Well, fast forward. Now it's what, 14, 15 years after that. But it really, you know, fast forward to 2020, 21 cycle. There's still only 3 black head coaches.
Yeah.
So all the other interviewing a candidate, or if they talked about compensatory picks, like, it's not working. Mm-hmm. So you need to have minority ownership.
Yeah. And it starts from the top, like you're saying. And that was similar to Weish's answer last week.
Yeah, very similar. Yes. Okay. So I want to go to your book a little bit. I got it right here. Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. Where did this cover come from? What was the inspiration?
Absolutely. And so it's the cover. It's got these glasses, it's got this nose, and then it's got this mustache. And if you see it, look at the middle, the nose, you see that line right there? That's kind of over the E. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. What did you think when you first saw that?
I don't know. It's almost like it's something. Yeah, it's fake. It's something that like you're putting over you. Because like in your book, you talk a lot about taking your mask off. Is this kind of like a part of the mask?
Yes. So like that's part of that idea. The idea behind the cover is there's this like disguise that's even covering up some of the words to the book, Let the World See You. But even in that, it's like you got the glass. Like, okay, let me put on like some fake glasses. And like this mustache to like pretend, and then like this fake nose, you know, like with the string you put over it. You know, so it's almost like, it's like a play on word. It's like a play on, like a word play, but also like a picture play of like, hey, like you don't have to wear the disguise anymore. And the book really is about like using your gifts, right? Like I go back to it once again, like Jacqueline, we've talked about these gifts that you have, right? It'd be one thing to be like, and that's you, there's no denying it. There's no running away from it, right? NFL, number one, you're going to do it. But also like we talked about it, right? Persistence and grace. So like, imagine if you were just like, okay, I'm just not going to ask anymore. Or if you were just like, try to be somebody different. No, I got to get this guest. I don't care what it takes. That's not you.
Right.
It's just not. The real you is like, it's this kind, generous, but like, you're like a cold-blooded killer in a lot of ways. People don't see it. They don't see behind the smile. You got this like gentle kind of whatever, but you're so like, calculating, you know what I mean? And so like, and that's a gift. That's a gift. So like, and so like letting people see that, like when you're you, I believe that when you're you, 3 things happen. Number one, God gets the glory. Number two, the people around you benefit. And number three, the world around you thrives when you're you. And last, I promise, last time I'm gonna go back to you, Jacqueline, for a grade. Or maybe Stephanie's probably like happy. I'm happy.
Yeah, freaking out. She's gonna be cheering. She's gonna be so happy.
But like, imagine if you weren't you. Like, I would have never made it on this podcast. Steve would have never made it on this podcast.
Right.
Whoever else have y'all interviewed, right? Like presidents and whoever else y'all got. I don't know. You know, y'all probably gonna have Goodell on here soon. Roger Goodell for interview, right? Like, these people would have never made it on this podcast if you weren't you. And so my book is talking about like bringing out the best in you, because we all have gifts, but sometimes we hide them, just like the cover, just like those masks. Sometimes we hide them, but my goal is that we would let the world see us. And I believe that we have a God who sees us as well. I believe that God sees you and loves you and knows your gifts and gave you those gifts for a reason. So don't hide them. Let the world see them, show them off, right? Like the way you lit up when we were talking about The Bachelor, right? Like, you don't have to, yes, sports are great, but like, imagine if you like bring in the stuff that you love, you know what I mean? Like, and then people will follow, right? Like Mark, same with you, like bringing the stuff, like it doesn't have to be all scripted, like bring in the stuff that you love and then the people will come and follow, right? Bring your full self, be authentic, be real, be vulnerable. And it'll like break through barriers. Like you're going to go, man, I said I was going to stop, but I'm not. Jacqueline, like you're going to go to places that like nobody would ever have imagined. Like I just see you almost like slipping through doors, if that makes any sense. It's like top flight security. And it's like, you just found a way to like get there, but it's right. That it's that kindness. It's that,
that's so
it's
nice. That,
yeah, but it's true. I mean, it's true. And it's, you're going to feel like, how did I end up here? But it's that gift, you know, like people are going to try and break down doors and won't be able to get through. And you'll just kind of like, won't say anything. And just like, well, wow, I'm, you know, you're just, it's like back behind stages and with people and doing cool things. Like, I'm really excited. Really don't forget about me. I'm serious.
I won't. I'm like, gosh, of course. I don't think that, wow, that was very nice of you to say. But so like what, so I guess like the, like that's pretty much like the main message is just like for to be you. And the inspiration, it was, yeah, can you explain the inspiration a little bit? I've heard you talk about it before on other books and podcasts. But yeah, so can you explain, it was, you were at dinner with somebody? Was that the main thing?
Yeah. So I was at dinner with a friend of mine named Lucas. And he'd known me for like years. And we're still friends now, really good friends. One of my closest confidants. And like it was a week before training camp. And like emotionally, I was struggling. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, I was struggling. Not because I kind of believe the lie that if you just do what everyone wants you to do and please everybody. And like, if you, like I got the big contract in the NFL, so you, that'll make me happy. And I got the, you know, I'm the starter now. And like, I got everything I thought I wanted, but I wasn't being me. I was kind of trying to do like let me break down these walls, you know? And I remember sitting down with my friend and just like sharing with him how I was like, dude, I'm not doing so hot right now. And I've never shared stuff like that with him before. Cause usually it's like, oh yeah, I'm great and fine and all is well. And I can't wait for what's next. And he just asked me like, how are you doing? I was like, dude, I'm not doing good. And I started to explain to him a little bit about what was going on and saying, hey, like, but in a week from now, training camp starts. So I'll be back with the guys. I'll be back. You know, off season's been tough, but it's because I've been just by myself and my team. I haven't seen my teammates. In a week, I'll be back with the team and everything will be fine. And he looked at me and he said, Sam, if that's how you feel right now, I'm afraid of what happens when you retire or when football ends. If this 3-month off season, now you're struggling like this, I'm afraid of what happens when football's taken away from you. And as he's sharing this, I'm kind of like just tears start to flow from my eyes. And he had never seen this. I'm a 6'3", 260 pound linebacker, you know? And I'm crying and he looks at me and he leans in and he says, it's nice to see you, Sam. It's really nice to see you. And there was something about that phrase that would go on to resonate for the next few days, weeks, months, and even years, this idea of being seen, not just crying, but being real, not just like not pretending anymore, pretending that I had it all together, pretending that I knew all the answers, pretending that I was perfect in whatever ways that people would have wanted me to be. It was this call or this cry of like, hey, dude, like, I need some help. Yeah. Whether just someone to talk to, someone to encourage me, I just need some help just to be able to like, to exhale. Because for a long time, I've been like trying to hold it all together and just go get the goal and win this and get that and get this and go there. And I'm doing it. But like, I couldn't go anywhere to like, just to be me. To breathe. And that's where the book began in a lot of ways.
I think that's great that, you know, you're so open about this, because I think a lot of men in general, and especially football players, you have to, you know, many of them hide their feelings. They don't show emotion. You don't see guys cry, and then it leads to bad things in their life post-career and then even during career. So I think that's amazing what you're doing. And I really hope players who have retired, players who are in the league now are hearing your story and really taking that in. So I think that's great.
Thank you.
It really is. And I got to get my hands on that book for sure and give it a read. I know Jacqueline's been telling me it's a really good read, Sam. So I got to get my hands on that and everything sounds super cool. We're nearing almost near the end here of this interview. Do you see yourself getting back into the NFL, Sam? Whether that be in a coaching role, a playing role, just any role, or are you pretty satisfied with this kind of life as it is now and helping out the community and all that you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going through a transition right now. The last year, this 2021 season or 2020 season, whatever, was the first year I haven't played.
Right.
And, you know, it was the COVID year. Like, that was my first year not playing. And so I've been going through this. And a lot of that too, the book came out. So I was super pumped about that. And like a lot of the stories from the book, as you read it or listen to it, it's on audiobook, as you kind of digest it, that was kind of like the last season of my football life, if you will. And funny enough, I finished the book and ended up signing back with Tampa Bay. So I played played one more year, but I don't have a desire. So to answer your question, Mark, I don't have a desire to go back and play football, nor do I have a desire to go back and be a coach.
Yeah.
But I think if there was an opportunity to work in management, not necessarily be a GM, but let's say be the president of a team or something along those lines, that would likely give me interest, but not on the playing side, on the coach side, not on the playing side, not on the coaching side.
For sure. And one other question I had for you, it's another football question. I know you've talked about Fitz earlier in your career, Larry Fitzgerald, when you were with Arizona. Mm-hmm. Was that one of the guys you kind of leaned on when you got drafted by Texas and started to join the Cardinals?
No, the main guy that I leaned on was a guy named Calais Campbell.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, y'all know Calais. Yeah, Calais is like, he's I'm hoping to do an Instagram live with him. I might, it's going to be on Monday. So Monday.
Okay.
Is, yes, it's The Bachelor. Which
it's The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, Jacqueline, you just lit up once again. But it's also my 7-year anniversary for me and my amazing wife being married. Yeah, and so
thank you.
And so I'm hoping to do an Instagram live with Calais on that day. And I'm not joking, but I may do it as soon as to rival The Bachelor, see how my ratings are versus, so on the same time that The Bachelor comes out, you know, I'll make people choose. But anyways, no, Calais was that guy. And he became a really close friend of mine. And he, and the reason I want to do an Instagram live with him is that he helped me find the courage to talk to the woman who would become my wife. And there's a chapter in there you're going to get to, Jacqueline. That's probably chapter 12. It's called Blessing. So I'm excited for you to read that part. But anyways, yeah, so I'm going to do a story with him about like how that all came about. But the reason he even got a chance to be that close to me is that we just became friends. I got drafted to the Arizona Cardinals. I knew no one. Mm-hmm. I knew I couldn't name one player from the team.
You were drafted in the lockout, right?
Yes, I was. I was. Yeah, bingo.
So that makes it weirder too.
So I was drafted. There was an NFL lockout. So you couldn't. I literally got a call from Michael Bidwell, the team owner, and they were in the room. So it was Michael Bidwell. It was Ray Horton was the defensive coordinator. Ken Wisenhunt was the coach. But Bill was like, hey, congratulations. You're an Arizona Cardinal. We couldn't be happier to have you. And I'm like, yes, let's go. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm ready to get to work right now. Like, when can I, like, where do I go? What's next? Like, I'm ready. Like, do I go to the facility? Mm-hmm. Do I fly to Arizona? I'm from Texas. So do I fly to Arizona? Yeah. What do I do? And they're like, stay home. And I'm like, wait, 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 no. Like, I am ready and I'm excited and we're going. He's like, Sam, we're in a lockout right now. So you're actually allowed to even come to the facility. And so he said, wherever you are, just stay there and stay in shape and train. And I was like, huh? Because anybody who knows me, right, that laser focus, like, this was now the thing. And I knew, like, once that draft ended, I was going to go to wherever I needed to go and make it happen. And so draft ends. They say, stay home. I was like, no, I'm not. I can't stay home. So I hang up the phone, celebrate for like a day or two. Then I reach out to my sister. I'm like, hey, I need to find a place to, because I was, I don't know, maybe, I don't forget how old I was, but I was like, I need to fly to Arizona and a hotel. I seem to be there for a couple of weeks and I'll figure it out from there. And she's like, okay, where are you going to train? What are you going to do? My sister's name is Stephanie as well. Stephanie, okay. I think we got it. There's
good
a
name. Yeah.
Good name. Great name. And so, she said, where are you going to train? I was like, I'll figure it out. And so in my process of figuring it out, I got on Twitter, and I think Twitter was just kind of starting up at that time. And I just looked up players who played for the Arizona Cardinals and just tried to find someone who seemed normal. Straight up. Like someone who seemed normal. And I had to go through a couple of different people. And then I found Calais. And Calais he just seemed like this really cool, down to earth guy. And so I reached out to him I just DM'd him or something. And I said, hey, we'd love to come. And you know, I just got signed. I'd love to find a place to train. He's like, oh yeah, for sure, man. We're at this facility. Boom, boom. Here's the address. You know, let me know when you want to come out. I'm like, hey, I'll be out there next week. He says, all right, great. And so I get out there the next week. I show up to this place. My sister finds this hotel that's close by to where we were training. And there's a whole nother story in there too. Like I'm bad with directions. My phone had died and it wouldn't charge. No. And so like, I didn't know, like, and it wouldn't charge. I come to find out like there's something wrong with the battery. So I'm like, what the heck? I had the people at the front desk print out like a map quest of like how to get there. And so like, there's so much. It was like some cool stuff. Like, funny enough. So I'll tell it real quick. Cause I got a couple minutes, unless y'all got like one more like final question.
I'll leave
some time for that. So I put the map quest in, didn't know where to go, what to do. Come to find out that like my battery was messed up. And so I stopped by a Best Buy that was like right around the corner and made a friend who worked there. And they like charged the battery separately or something. I don't know how they did it while I went to go work out. So I show up to go work out. And remember, Calais is like, hey, here's a spot. Da, da, da. And Calais isn't there.
No.
And like, I walk in, I'm kind of looking around and like somebody at the front desk is like, hey, what are you doing here? Are you one of the Cardinals players? And I'm like, I'm a Cardinals player, you know? And so like, he's like, okay, the guys are working around the corner. And I'm like, okay. And so I go around the corner. I know no one. And come to find out, Calais had like gone, he was gone for the weekend in LA doing something. No. But I got a chance to meet another guy named Adrian Wilson, who was a safety, and we became really good friends. And then Calais showed up like a few days later and I was like, dude, what happened? And so he just became that really good friend for me. And so close that like we would like, I told him about like everything, right? My likes, my dislikes, like girls that I like, all these different kind of things. And so we went to Nigeria. I invited him to Nigeria with me. Oh, every wow. summer, my family, we do medical mission work out there. So I invited him out there with me and we land. Long story short, he sees this young woman. He says, bro, who is that? Like, are y'all related? Like, she's beautiful. And I'm like, bro, chill out, man. Like, you just finished telling me about this girl who you were in love with, right? Mind you, now he and that girl he was talking about, now they're married, they have kids, they have a son now. Aww, but anyways, awesome. I was like, dude, back up, you know? And he's like, no, I'm just talking about, like, this is everything. She's this girl here is everything that you've described about the things that you like, you know, from not even from a appearance perspective, just from like a heart. Like, you always talked about someone who loved and knew your family, and that girl was taking care of my grandmother, right? You always talked about someone who, like, from your culture-wise, understand the culture. She gets the culture. Like, he saw all that before I did. And so that's why he was the guy I lean on. And he actually was the one who was like, dude, go talk to her. And there's a whole nother story there, which is in the book. But yeah.
That's awesome. That's
great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're already going to wrap it up here. I have a lot more questions, so I'm going to bug you to get back on
Absolutely.
Soon.
Absolutely. Just when you get those millions, I don't know how many y'all got, but y'all about to have like a couple. I don't know. So just holler at me now, but also then. Don't forget about me then. Don't be like, I already had Sam on the podcast. No.
Of course I will. But yeah, so the last thing I do want to ask is, so we got the draft coming up soon. What is advice that you want to give the players going in now? And what is some advice that you wish that you got before entering the league?
So the advice that I wish I got before entering the league, I'll start with that one, is, and it is, really just to breathe. I think that would be what it is, because we would get so tense. People tend to get so tense and worried of like, am I going to get drafted and what team, and I don't know the guys, and I got to prove myself. And I would say just to breathe. That's the advice that I wish that I got, would be that, just to breathe, not necessarily relax, but like, oh, everything good, but just like, it's gonna be okay. And I think that can apply in a lot of things. The advice that I would give right now, because I think it's been 10-11 years since I got drafted, so I think some of the people that things are different now. The advice that I would give to someone coming out would be to like find some people to learn from, find some mentors in the NFL. Because culture nowadays says that you got to know it all, and you're supposed to know it all. And I would say there are people who have been there before you. Find them and like submit to them, like learn from them, like be their disciple, be there, like follow them. That's what Adrian Wilson was for me, right? He was all pro and phenomenal. That's what Calais was. And that's what got me my 9-year career. Yes, laser focus is important. Yes, time management. But I watched people who had done it. Calais is still playing. This is year 12 or so for him. Adrian Wilson, A-Dub, played like, I think he played 8 or 9 as well. So find people who have done it before you and follow them. That's the last thing I'll say, Jacqueline. You have this idea of like submission too. Like you have this thing of like, hey, I want to learn. You have like a spirit. Like, I want to learn. And that's good. That's what's going to take you far. So I will say
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you guys. Anyways, that's all I got.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, the last thing I could say, y'all could cut it out. Y'all got people who edit this?
Or no? I do. I edit it.
All right, cool. What might be good. I don't know if y'all alternate it. This is just a thought, but like Mark, Jacqueline, do you do all the intros or do y'all alternate, or how do y'all do that?
We all alternate. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cause Mark, it may be cool if you did some of the intros and then Jacqueline, you kind of came in with your, I think the right word is perspective. Does that make sense? Because you have this like perspective, and I think Mark, you can be more like, hey, you know, we're so and so doing this and that, whatever.
Yeah.
And then boom. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No,
so that's just a thought. I don't know. But y'all alternate, so it's fine. I didn't know if it, you know.
No, of course. Okay. Hey, we appreciate that a ton. No, I think I know what you're saying there, Sam. So no, I appreciate that. Yeah. Jacqueline does provide provide that.
Yeah. So thank you again for coming on. I'm going to bug you to get back on because I have way more questions. Once again, Sam Ocho, go get his book. It's a great book. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm not a reader, but I love it. Monday night, we got Bachelor, but Sam will also be doing an Instagram live. So you guys can pick which one you want to watch. And you have two podcasts, the Home Team podcast and the Athletes for Justice. Everybody go check that out. Once again, thank you so much, Sam.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jacqueline. And Mark, I look forward to being back on with y'all.
For sure. Thanks, Sam. Thank you so much.
Thanks.